Hello, family, and welcome to Kingwood Methodist. In John 4:23, Jesus states that a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. As we gather at church and open God's Word, we are not just coming together for the sake of gathering, but also to learn the truth of God and how we can grow to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. As we continually surrender our lives to the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, we become the type of worshipers our Heavenly Father seeks. Let's dive in together.
Church, hey, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, we've been walking with Jay's House for quite some time, kind of since the inception of this thing, And I'm really excited to see just they've come to a really incredible spot to be able to launch this year. They've worked incredibly hard, and the ministries that they're gonna lead and guide are just incredibly beautiful. So I just want to, with the Jay's House team that's here with us, will y'all stand? Many of them who've been working on this, and we're excited to finally get to partner with them. They'll be out in the commons right after this service. A few of them might just stick around in here, some out in the commons, so you guys can have conversations with them. Kiddos, kindergarten through second grade, you guys can head to the back for children's church. Our children's ministry team does an incredible job of just contextualizing the message this morning, and they'll come back in for communion. Beautiful. Well, church, good to be in worship with you. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make it here with the bridge shutting down. We live around the other side. That's part of the reason why we had to modify some things, because there was a potential of only having one preaching pastor here this morning, and Bert couldn't be in two spaces at once, so we had to do some things to maneuver yesterday to figure it out, but the Lord provided a way, opened the bridge, receded the waters, and here we are. And to my knowledge, I don't know of any church members who have flooded. Some of you may know some people who have flooded during this time. Please let us know how we can be helpful and support those who are in need, whether just for physical support to reach out and to walk alongside them in the recovery, or if you know people who have like a significant, this trauma kind of brought up some things in their lives. We actually had a few counselors in our community and in the community reach out and say, hey, we'll do some pro bono work on some really triage trauma basis to get people into to a better place. So if this is something that brought up some things, I know we've been through a lot as a community around this topic. And so I just want to offer that before we get started today, that we're here for you as a community, not just to muck and gut your house, but in all of the phases of this and all of life experience. So our desire is to walk with you in the midst of this. So we are continuing our series called Rising, these interactions with the risen Savior, these disciples who had walked with Jesus, experienced and saw him die, and then experienced him in his post-resurrection form, in his glorified state. Many of them didn't recognize him because his face was different, his body was different, his aura was different. Everything about him was a little bit different because he was glorified. He popped in and out of buildings and places. He showed up in miraculous ways, as we see in our story today. But church, we kind of talked a little bit about this passage last week, at the very beginning of it, where Peter is out on his boat fishing in his underwear with his buddies, with his disciples, sees the Lord, sees Jesus on the shore and jumps in the water, swims back as fast as he can so that he can greet his risen Savior, so that he can experience God's presence once again. As they're on the shore, Jesus specifically addresses Peter. He addresses him in such a way that changes his life. Peter had experienced him two other times, but there's something different about this encounter that Peter has with Jesus. Peter had messed up. He had denied Christ three times. He had walked away from his relationship with Jesus in such a way that in our world today, we might decommission Peter. We might say that, Peter, you're no longer fit for the work of ministry. You apostate. You have denied the presence of Christ. You've denied Christ in your life, his role and his relationship in your life. You have walked away. Church, we live in a decommissioned world. Right? We're so quick to throw things out. I mean, I bought a little charger for my watch and my phone and my AirPods. And after like 2 weeks, this thing just died. Like, bought it on Amazon and then it died. It was past the turn it back in date. And so I just threw it away and get a new one, right? We live in a world where we're so quick to just throw things out. If you look on the side of the street in our neighborhood, it's a Wednesday and a Saturday, you'll see all sorts of things just out on the curb that we just throw away. It might be broken, or it might be insufficient, or maybe we just upgraded and we just don't need it anymore. Our landfills are filling up faster and faster every day, and believe me, this is not a green message, reduce, reuse, recycle. But our world has the economy, the consumer mindset has created the "they don't make them like they used to anymore" mentality. And that's true. They literally don't make anything like they used to anymore. There's a reason for that. It's called planned obsolescence. They build things now to break so that you'll buy a new one, so that you'll move on to the next thing. Friends, the world is training not just our consumer minds, but I believe that the world is training our spirits, our souls, for planned obsolescence. That we begin to think about everything in our lives in that way. If it's broken, I'll just move on and get a new one. Instead of invest the time to fix it up, instead of invest the time to repair a relationship, I'm just gonna move on past that relationship, I'll just find a new one. In our relationships, in our communities, even in our churches, we're quick to just move on, to decommission the things around us. So as we dive into the text today, we're gonna look at the way that God sees broken things. Thanks be to God that this is not the way that Jesus looks at each one of us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So as we dive into the word of God, John chapter 21, which Kimberly read for us. Thanks, Kimberly, for reading the word of God. We're gonna kind of begin to do that kind of in the middle of our worship set, because it begins to frame our mind around the things that we are hearing and learning. The word of God, I think, is central to everything that we do. And so we want to claim that in all parts of our worship. I know that Ryan does an incredible job of leading out of the word of God. All the songs that he picks are from scripture and are tied into the things that we're learning. And so so as we dive in today, we're going to look at the ways in which God sees broken things. John chapter 21, starting in verse 15, if you will, read with me. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you agape me?" The word here in the Greek, agape, is the same word that Jesus uses in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." In Greek, there's several different ways in which you can say love. In our language, there's the same love for our spouse, same love for God as the same love for pizza, right? And so in the Greek, they kind of play those different words out. There's a different way in which to say love. Here in this context, Jesus says, "Do you agape me?" The same kind of love that Christ had for us when he came to die on the cross for us. For God so agape'd the world. And he comes to Peter. "Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" What does that mean? Love me more than these. You see, Jesus is kind of taking him back to the scene of the crime, the scene of his denial of Jesus. He's sitting around a campfire, cooking these fish, and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" You know the last time that Peter denied Jesus? You know what they were sitting around? A fire. You know what what Peter said whenever Jesus told him that he would deny him three times? He said, even if all of these deny you, I will not. Peter, do you love me more than these? He's calling him back to that scene. Do you love me more than these? I think the way that Jesus interacts with Peter in this text is in a series of re's. Repent, restore, repurpose, and refocus. Here, he's calling Peter to repent. He's bringing him back to the ways in which he has turned away from God. Repent begins with a recognition of who we are, a recognition of what we've done. It is a turning back towards God. Not to say that we have it all figured out. Not to say that we're running full-heartedly after God, even in that moment. But I'm taking a step in the other way. As I was reading through this week, he said, "Do you love me more than these?" I started to ask myself, what is the "these" in my life? And as the flood water started to rise, our house in Harvey flooded 3 inches, so not much. But when the first reports started coming out to say this was Harvey-like flooding, I'm sure as many of you had that gut drop feeling in your stomach that said, "Not again." As I was sitting there praying, as I was sitting there thinking about all of the things that would change in my next 2 weeks or in our lives over the flooding of our house, which I had been through this and helped other people with this, and it's something different when it's somebody else than when it's potentially you. And I heard God convicting me as I thought about all of the things that might be lost or the things that would change. I heard him say, "Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these things? Do you love me more than your plan of how the next 2 weeks would go? Do you love me more?" And I had to sit in that moment and confess that there's times where I love these things more than you, God. It was gut-wrenching and humbling to speak those words to God, but he desires for a humble heart to come to him and say, "Yes, I love you more than these." So Peter responds. "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you more than these." But the word that Peter uses is not agape. He uses phileo. "I love you like a brother more than these." So Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Verse 16. Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Agape. Jesus said, and he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," phileo, "more than these." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." A third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you phileo me?" Notice that Jesus changed his word for love in this moment. We'll come back to that because I think that's significant for us today. "Do you phileo me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time, "Do you phileo me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you." After Jesus calls us to repentance, his desire, instead of to decommission us, is to restore us. He sees us in the midst of our brokenness, and he sees everything that we can become. He sees everything that he created in us and looks to restore our very soul, to restore everything that we are. In the third time that he said this to Peter, the third time that he asked him, "Do you love me?" all of a sudden it clicked for Peter what was happening. The first time he's like, "Of course, feed my sheep." The second time he's like, "Of course, you know, feed my sheep." The third time he said, "Oh, now I see what you're doing." He probably looked up and saw the fire and remembered. He probably remembered the statement, "Do you love me more than these?" In this moment, he found Peter in a broken place. He was out of commission, maybe functioning like he didn't have a place, didn't have the same calling that God had put in his life. He wasn't functioning the way that he was built or designed for the purpose that God had for him. And in that moment, Jesus met him with the question, "Do you love me?" One of the things that I love about what Jake's House is doing is they look at decommissioned kids and they say, "How can we love you? How can we restore you back to a place of healing? How can we bring you out of the spot that you're in and say, and change your loves? Change the things that you love in the world." Because the world, just like all of us, the world tries to tell us all the things that we ought to love. And it pulls us further and further and further away from God. And God steps into our story, steps into our presence and says, I'm gonna change, I'm gonna refocus here. This is the love that I'm calling you to, not that. And in this love, in repurposing our love, in repurposing who we are, in restoring who we are, and who what we love, he restores our souls because everything flows out of our love. That's why the greatest command in scripture is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Because everything flows out of your loves. If your love is for the things of this world, then your pursuit and your purpose will be for the things of this world. If your love is for God, then your purpose and your pursuit will be for God. Everything flows out of our love. And he says, "Jesus, you know all things. You know the depths of my heart. You know my love for you." And then Jesus, for the third time, says, "Feed my sheep." This is a different call than what he had received the first time that Jesus met him on the shore. Anybody remember what the call that Jesus said when he met him on the shore the first time? You'll be fishers of men, right? His first call was to be to go and make disciples, to be fishers of men, right? And now he's repurposing his call in the midst of this story. He has restored his heart, restored his loves, and he is pointing him in a new direction filled with the love of Christ and sending him out into a new place. He is repurposing his life. Maybe God has done a healing work in your life, and you are waiting and searching for the next step, the next thing, the next calling, the next thing in your life that God might be leading you to, and you feel like you're stuck in an in-between place, or maybe in a change of direction place. You're asking God those questions. Several years ago, that was me. Right before the world got shut down with COVID, had the opportunity to go to Israel with Bert and with a few other people in the room from the church. And as we were standing on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, I was struggling. I didn't tell really anybody in my world about this because I felt shame about the struggles that I was having about my call to ministry. I don't even think I told my wife. She probably knew it. She could see it. But I was like, God, this is really hard. Is this really what you're calling me to, God? Like, I could do a whole lot of other things. Is this really what you want for my life? And as I stood on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, in this spot, I think we have a picture of it. This is right outside of this chapel is the Sea of Galilee. And this is called the Mensa Christi, the table of Christ, where supposedly he cooked the fish for his disciples. And God, as I was pouring my heart out, somebody actually caught the picture. I didn't ask somebody to take that picture, but somebody caught that picture. As I was asking God, is this what you're calling me to? Because it's hard. He spoke two words to me. He said, follow me. Follow me. And those two words are the exact words that Jesus speaks to Peter. So I went to look it up. To look up this story on the heels of those words. And what Jesus was telling me in repurposing my life and recommissioning my life and refocusing, reorienting my loves, as he was saying, it's going to look different, but follow me. You don't know what the next steps are, but follow me. I got you. Follow me. Those words are profound for me, and I think for each of us. Friends, no matter where you are in your journey, no matter what the steps in front of you, the roadblocks that are in front of you, the challenge of the journey that God has put before you, the position and status of your heart, whether you feel like you've been decommissioned because of something you've done, because of something, a fear that you've had, a doubt that you've had, a failing that you've had. I truly believe that God's call to us is follow me. Follow me. You don't have to know the rest of that story. All you have to know is that he calls us to follow. He calls us into the next right thing. As he reshapes our love, as he restores our hearts, as he repurposes our lives, Sometimes he even gives us hard truths about what the next steps might entail. For Peter, he did. In verse 18, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death that Peter would glorify God. Then he said, "Follow me." Peter, just like Jesus, went to the cross and would give his life to follow Jesus. He knew that Jesus was real. He knew that he had power. He knew that he was God. He knew that he was King, Master, and Lord of his life, and that this thing was real. And he didn't want to, when he was crucified, he didn't want to have the same crucifixion as Jesus with nails in his hands up on a cross. And so it is told that he was nailed to an X instead of a cross, upside down with his hands tied and not nailed, because he didn't want to take that image away from Jesus. Friends, whatever the next step is that God might be repurposing in your life, it might not be easy. But as we are faithful to be obedient in that, he will see us through. Finally, Jesus sometimes has to refocus us. For Peter, in verse 20, it says that he turned and saw the disciples whom Jesus loved, the disciple who Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" This is probably John. And when Peter saw him, he asked the Lord, "What about him?" And Jesus answered, If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Right when things start getting uncomfortable for Peter in this conversation, he's like, "Well, what about my brother? He did something wrong too." Right? That's what our kids do, right? "It wasn't just me, my sister did it too." We try to put it off on somebody else or start to ask what's going on with somebody else's life. Maybe we start looking at our life and say, "Well, what about their life? I want the things that they have. I want the blessings that they have. I want the family that they have. I want the gifts that they have. I want. And Jesus says, "No, focus right here. It's not about the things that are happening in other people's lives around you. I am focused on you." I love the intentionality that Jesus has with the individual. He doesn't just look at the whole and say, "All of you guys, disciples, you guys are gonna chase after me, come follow me." He focuses in specifically on the one. I think that's what Jesus was doing when he changed his agape to phileo. He recognized that Peter couldn't get all the way there to agape. He couldn't get all the way there to the same kind of love that Jesus has for us. And he met him. He came down to his position and said, "All right, we'll start with phileo. We'll start with this." He got down on his knees, brought himself low, humbled himself and said, "I'm going to walk with you. Bring me the little bit that you have and we can work with that." And as he walks with Peter, as he brings himself down, he resets his life. Friends, I don't know where you find yourself in this story. Maybe you're in need of repentance. in need of restoration, in need of being repurposed to new things that God might be calling you to. Maybe you just need to be refocused, to focus on the relationship that you have with Christ. I do know that in seasons like this, and in moments where tragedy happens in our community, or we start to get stressed, or things, significant life changes happen in our lives, it causes us to reset. It causes us to refocus. Just like the lost sheep that just focuses on the thing that's right in front of him, and then all of a sudden picks his head up and says, wait, where's the shepherd? I think it's moments like this and seasons like this that we pick our head up and say, oh, there's a distance here. I'm called back and to refocus. The reality is that God meets us in the midst of that. He comes and he chases after us in those moments. Wherever you are today, God will meet you there. God is not disappointed in the position that you find yourself in. He's happy that you looked up. He's grateful to be in your presence. Turn your love. Reform and reshape your love. Follow me today. Be faithful with what I have given you right now. Be faithful with where I have placed you. Be faithful with the little that I have entrusted to you, and I will give you more, he says. I will give you a greater calling, a greater blessing, greater power in the Spirit, greater measures of myself if you are faithful with the little that you've been entrusted with. Friends, in a decommissioning world, Jesus says, I am recommissioning you. And it's not because of something that you've done. It's because of my love for you. There is so much more that Jesus has for each and every one of us. On the outside of that church was a plaque. And it reads this. I think these words are profound for us today. At thy word, I let down the net. The deeds and the miracles of Jesus are not actions of the past. Jesus is waiting for those who are still prepared to take risks at his word because they trust his power utterly. Friends, God wants to do incredible things in each and every one of our lives. Do you trust his power utterly? Church, come and follow me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.